Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page and click Share This.
The fact that I had instructed all of our pastors not to give him Holy Communion, which of course is patently false. I have no idea where he came up with that little piece of fiction.
Right now we have 50 million people who are uninsured. You mean to tell me Catholic Church is going to be denying those people life-saving health care? I thought they were pro-life.
The Manhattan Declaration arose out of people wringing their hands. What do? We see attacks on religious liberty, on the sanctity of life, and on marriage. It was a time to draw a line in the sand and say, here's where we stand, and we're not going to compromise.
I thank God that I get the opportunity to do what I love to do, which is play baseball. I pray and I ask God to keep me healthy and to do whatever I can to represent Him first and to try to help the Cardinals organization to get to the World Series.
I know that we as Christians want to have as little to do. Well, this is kind of a strange thing, isn't it? We as Christians, especially in America, want to have as little to do with politics in the church as we can. Often no compunction whatsoever about having everything to do with politics outside the church. But whenever you gather people together in any kind of organization, even if the external organization, this human organization, some kind of structure, some kind of governing in the church, you have to have a way of making decisions, a way of pooling knowledge, resources, things like that. This inevitably leads to, we got to call it what it is, politics. It's not necessarily a dirty word. So what do you do when it's time to make big decisions in the church? The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is facing one of those times. Coming up this next summer, a big convention, big for a number of reasons. And some of the big decisions are made right up front, like who's going to be president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Who's going to serve in the offices next to the president, down the line, vice presidents, whatnot? And the congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are being asked to think about those decisions right now. We hope in the next half hour to help congregations, help you understand that process a little bit better so you can make that decision responsibly. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're back live this Monday afternoon, the 30th of November. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. You can also Twitter us for the next 2 hours at @IssuesETC. We'll start out with Dr. Martin Nolan. We'll talk about the nomination process for officers in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. After that, Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us, as she does every Monday. We'll teach a Sunday school lesson, the birth of John the Baptist, moving from Old Testament to New Testament in our conversation with her. Pastor Marcus Zill will join us. He pastors a church, St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming. And, of course, the name, St. Andrew's, also is attributed to this day. We'll talk about St. Andrew the Apostle with Pastor Marcus Zill. Then Pastor Heath Curtis will join us. We'll talk about the church calendar. He's written a book recently, Ordering Our Days, in his piece, An Introduction to the Christian Church Year, that's coming up in the last half hour or so of Issues Etc. Before we introduce our first guest, thanks to Jim and Mary Cruda of Cruda Bakery here in Collinsville, Illinois. They very kindly brought some cookies, some cakes. I didn't get any of the cakes or the pies. I just had the sugar cookies, which are already gone at the Wilkin House. They brought them by LPR Studio here. Hey, when you think about your needs during the holidays, you can order your Christmas cookies in advance. Anything else, they can provide a full-service bakery. Cruda Bakery, 300 St. Louis Road, Collinsville, Illinois. Order your Christmas cookies in advance. You can call them, 618-344-1115, 618-344-1115. Remember, Cruda Bakery, they're good friends of Issues Etc. Dr. Martin Nolan is our guest. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana. He's past director of the Concordia Historical Institute. Marty, welcome back.
Good to be here again.
Somebody, you know, approaching this conversation, this subject, might well say, look, this is just politics in the church. Politics is dirty. I don't want to get involved in this process. Your response?
They're probably correct. that most politics on the secular level are dirty and corrupt. You know, that's sinful human nature, and it's not even influenced by the Holy Spirit. In the church, we expect more, and we're a combination of the sinner and the saint. And so we expect that this process, which as none human process is perfect, is going to be influenced by our Lord and by His Word. And so even though it is filled with, you know, not always the best motivations of everybody that's involved, certainly there are people that have the best interests of the church in mind when they're involved with this. So that's the first thing in terms of, you know, how do we look at it as Lutherans? And then the second thing is, well, the alternative to having nominations, elections, and votes is to have somebody at the top that makes all the decisions, and if you want that, you can join the Roman Catholic Church. And we don't believe in that. We believe that's proven historically to be filled with lots of trouble. So, you know, our method is not perfect. There's sins and offenses that go along the way because that's the way we are. But this is the best way that we have found over a period of 160 years to elect the leaders of our church and to have some line of accountability when that happens.
With regard to these nominations, what are the congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod being asked to do in the next couple of months?
All of the congregations should have received a mailing from the Secretary of the Synod. That would be Raymond Hartwig. It was dated October 31st, 2009, and it came in a envelope with a glassine window at the office of the Secretary. That should have been received by the office of the church, so it would usually go to the office secretary or to the pastor. And inside that envelope is a ballot for electing the president, the first vice president, and other vice presidents of the Missouri Synod. This ballot needs to be completed and to be returned to St. Louis by March 10th of 2010. It also has a sheet with the bylaws of the Synod that pertain to that and explain how you're to go about filling it. But that's basically what they've received. So congregations have from October 31st until March 10th to make their decision as a congregation on these nominations.
Before we get into how those ballots are filled out, how congregations go about actually deciding for names to put into those slots, what is done after that March date with these ballots in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
The ballots are received by an accounting firm, Brown Smith Wallace, in St. Charles, Missouri, and they will tabulate the ballots, and then this will be reported in the, I believe it's in the convention workbook. If not, it's in another flyer of information that will report to the delegates which candidates received the most nominations for each one of these offices. So again, that would be for president, first vice president, and other vice presidents. There is a limit. I think there is, for the other vice presidents, I think they will give the top 20 candidates, and I think for the other ones, where is it? I think maybe it's the top five. I don't remember. But they will see what the results are from all the congregations of the Synod, the people that are getting the most, and that tends to influence the delegates when they get to the convention and saying, well, you know, these people got quite a bit of nominations, and maybe we should go that way. Some people, of course, go independently, and that's certainly fine too, but that's how the process works.
Not just anyone's name can be put into, can be nominated for these positions.
Yeah, that's correct. These are all clergy positions. So the Constitution of the Synod requires that the president and vice presidents in line of succession, that they have to be ordained ministers on the roster. So if you're thinking about nominating somebody, you need to go to the Lutheran Annual and confirm that their name is in the ordained minister section of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Otherwise, they would not be eligible.
Two of these positions that are the congregations are being asked to nominate for are full-time positions. The others are, I guess you could call, call them not so much unpaid, but volunteer perhaps, even though they are elected. Talk about that briefly before we take a break.
Yeah, well, the president of the Senate, of course, is a full-time job. It's a 24/7 job. The first vice president is also a full-time position. So both of those two candidates, those that are elected, will have to move to St. Louis and work in the International Center with the other people that are there. The other vice presidents, number 2 through 5, are there in the event of some catastrophe, and that's their original purpose, that they would serve out the remaining term. But they're also in what's called the Presidium, which has various functions of advising the president of the Senate, and much of that is for, confidential discussions, where the president is just trying to scratch his head and say, what do I do here? I need some help of some of my fellow colleagues. And that's what they meet, I think, 4 to 6 times a year, all those guys together, and they'll have those type of discussions. I think all of them are also involved in what's known as the Council of Presidents, which are the president, first vice president, 2 through 5, and all the district presidents.
Dr. Martin Noland is our guest, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana. He's past director of the Concordia Historical Institute. We're talking about the nomination process for officers of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Presidium in particular. You'll find information on the nomination process under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, Marty's going to explain to us how most congregations get together and make this decision. Most congregations have a system set up, usually part of their voters' assembly, to sit down and discuss names, have names tossed out, and finally land upon the nominees that they want to submit for the officers of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We'll see what Marty has to say about that on the other side of the break. 1-877-623-6943, coming to you live this Monday, November the 30th. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Lutheran Study Bible is the first time in the English language that the Lutheran Church has produced a study Bible to this extent.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Paul McCain, with his thoughts on the new Lutheran Study Bible.
It's entirely from scratch, using all original content, features that every Christian will love and cherish. It has what I think is the most important thing of all, a rich devotional quality to it that helps us understand when we are reading the Word of God, we are reading the mind of God and hearing His Word for us, and we respond to Him and pray, praise, and thanksgiving all through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are really excited about this Bible.
Enrich your devotional life through word and prayer with the new Lutheran Study Bible. Check it out at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can buy the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Study Bible.
I know what's wrong, and I'm going to give you the fact, you got the vote.
We're talking about the nomination process for officers in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation should be meeting now and in the next several months to make their decision about who to nominate for president, first vice president, and the other vice presidents of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Martin Noland is walking us through the process, important things that we need to know. Lisa is listening in Houston, Texas. Lisa, thank you for waiting.
Yes, I'm at Zion Temple, but how does average pew sitter get other average pew sitter people to pay attention to politics inside or outside the church?
Lisa, thank you very much. Well, there's voter apathy in the church just as much as there is outside. Marty, your thoughts there?
Well, Lisa, that's an excellent question. And when I run into that in my congregation, the first thing I tell the people is, you wouldn't have me without the Missouri Synod, because every congregation I've served is not the one that I grew up in. And, well, sometimes that makes an impression, and sometimes it doesn't, depend how enthusiastic they are about my ministry. But that's the truth. I mean, that is where most people in the church will find out this is what the Missouri Synod does. It produces pastors, and every congregation, any congregation that's going to be around for any length of time, has a pastor, and it's been trained through the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So I think that's really the heart of the matter. It's kind of how the Missouri Synod got started. And in terms of its future, if you want pastors that are grounded in the Word of God, that are decent guys, and that are really concerned about people and their needs, you want to have a organization that is going to be screening them and training them in those things. It's just not something that falls out of heaven like manna. And the Missouri Synod has been devoted to this, so the work at the seminaries of producing good pastors is that's just critical. And if you let the organization get out of hand and it loses its focus of what it's supposed to be doing, the training of pastors will suffer, and as a result, congregations will suffer. So to me, that's the main thing. But then there's also other stuff like our influence as a Lutheran church around the world, which we do through missions or our mission departments, training of other church workers like deaconesses and teachers, and just the whole issue of our doctrinal unity and identity. We can do so much more together and better together than going our own separate ways. And these are all the reasons that involvement in the Synod and its work is so important.
Steve is listening in St. Louis. Hi, Steve.
Hey. Hey, my question is, how does the LCMS process compare to the ELCA? And the reason I bring this up is, you know, we just had the ELCA convention, and from a kind of a outsider looking in, it looks like ELCA is more driven by the bureaucracy in Chicago than what happens with the churches, because it from what I've been able to put together, there's a huge disconnect between the two.
That's a great question, Steve. Thank you very much. Dr. Noland.
I don't know all the details of their bylaws and their process for selecting candidates and resolutions, so I have to confess some ignorance on the ELCA, but I do know that congregations in the ELCA, their concerns, whether that comes in the area of a resolution or in the area of elections, are filtered through their local synods. And then the synod then filters that through what's called, a region, I think. That's the next level. And then finally, the regions filter out whatever they want, and it ends up at the National ELCA Convention. The difference there is that in the case of the Missouri Synod, you have live voices. I guess the best way to say it, you've got a direct representation from all these places in the United States, up to 1,000 delegates that are coming directly from congregations, and they're speaking their mind, and they're pushing the button on the election. And so there's more direct representation. In the case of the ELCA, you got delegates that go to several levels. And so by the time you get to the top, the bureaucracy at the top has filtered out any voices that it doesn't want to hear. And this was designed, this is the way the ELCA was designed at the very beginning. The other thing is that there is a lot tighter control over floor committees and part of the mechanics of the ELCA convention itself than there is in Missouri Synod, because the predecessor church bodies that went into the ELCA had more control from the top, more of a bishop or episcopal type of orientation. And that's the best way that I can explain that on short notice.
Okay. What should the average parishioner expect when the congregational meeting is called and, among the other things on the agenda, the entertainment of this ballot that the congregation has received? What should they expect? And if they have a name they'd like to have considered, how would they typically go about that?
Well, that will depend on the congregation. These decisions should be made at the congregational level, that is, by the voters' assembly or whatever it's called. Normally, there will be somebody that's making recommendations to the congregation. It might be the pastor, if that's the tradition. It might be the elders, or it might be an officer. So each person in the congregation will have to talk to somebody, and probably the best person to talk to is the president of the congregation, because he's supposed to convene the congregational meeting or voters and say, well, what's the process? I've got some candidates that I'd like to be considered. Can I put the names in there? And what's the process that that I go by with it? So each congregation has its own procedure. You need to talk to your congregational president to find out how that's done. And if you haven't heard about a voters meeting coming up before March 10th, you might want to remind the congregational president that he needs to call one just for this purpose.
Is it normally come down in that meeting to a congregational vote? Is there a slate of a way of making out the ballot, and then the congregation votes on the ballot as a whole or on individual names?
Again, it depends on each congregation. The Synod does not recommend a particular way. In our congregation, the elders and I have discussed a number of names, and we're going to recommend the number of names that need to go on the ballot, and then that can be amended by the congregation itself if there's anybody that, you know, would like to do that. And then you discuss the amendments, and if they pass, then you get to the final ballot and approve that. And then that is then sent in by mail to St. Louis, and that's how the nomination works.
So it sounds like the first order of business, if someone is listening to this, they're concerned that their congregation has received the ballot. They want to make sure that either there's a name there or that the meeting is held at all and the ballot filled out, because a lot of these do not get filled out for one reason or another, is to go to the congregational president and or the pastor and say, when are we going to meet to fill out that ballot?
That's correct, and that's really important. And so anybody listening, I mean, you got to realize, I don't know, it depends on the election year, but anywhere from one-half to one-third of the congregations don't even send in nominations. So, you know, it is your civic duty, if you want to say that, as a member of the Missouri Synod, to nominate, and the congregations need to do that to be responsible members of the Synod.
Finally, then, with only about a minute and a half, how important is it that congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, in spite of their feelings one way or the other about the direction of Synod currently or in the future, remain involved in the process like this that is constitutionally granted to each and every one of them?
Well, it's first off, it is, I would say, a duty of being a member. It's an ethical thing. You know, nobody's going to bash you over the head or give you any points or anything if you don't participate. But every vote counts, and that's more important where you have a system of 6,000 congregations than, well, let's say in a presidential election in the United States where you have maybe, you know, you have 6 billion. I don't know what the number is there, but every vote counts. And in synodical elections, in recent elections, it's been by a margin of 5 to 10 votes that elected the candidate. So you say, my vote doesn't count. Well, yes, it does. Yours and about four others may have elected the other guy. So just keep that in mind, and the fact that the nominations, the people that get the most nominations, the 5 most for the president, first vice president, and the 20 most for the other vice presidents, those end up in the published form, and they'll be the ones that are most likely considered by the electors themselves.
Dr. Martin Nolan is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana. He's past director of the Concordia Historical Institute. For more information about the nomination process for leaders of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, go to our website and click On Demand, issuesetc.org. Click On Demand. Marty, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back from this break, Deaconess Pam Nielsen is going to join us. She does every Monday to teach a Sunday school lesson. For the last weeks, it's been Old Testament stuff. We've been working our way up through the prophets. This week, we begin New Testament stuff, the way the Gospels begin, largely with the nativity, the birth of John the Baptist foretold. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be our guest from Concordia Publishing House. Then Marcus Zill will join us. He's pastor of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Laramie, Wyoming. Today, the church remembers St. Andrew. We'll see what Pastor Zill has to say about this saint and apostle. Then Pastor Heath Curtis will join us. You know, St. Andrew's is but one day in a long calendar of church events, and the church's calendar is unlike the world's. We simply mark time differently and march to the beat of a different drummer. We'll talk about the church calendar. Of course, Sunday started Advent, the beginning of the church's year. While we're waiting for the world's year to wind down, the church's year is just getting started. Pastor Heath Curtis will join us, and we'll give away a copy of his new book called Ordering Our Days in His Peace in the last 40 minutes of Issues Etc. today. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison. cph.org.
No Sonatocrats allowed. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
It's called the Manhattan Declaration, a call of Christian conscience. Pro-life and Christian leaders have kicked off an effort to stand up for American morals and values. It declares we must be obedient to God in three key areas. First, we must oppose the killing of innocent human life through abortion, embryo-destructive research, cloning, and euthanasia. It also takes a stand in support of marriage between a man and a woman. Thirdly, the Manhattan Declaration stands up for liberty, particularly religious liberty. We can substantially curtail America's moral shortcomings by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with more of our fellow citizens. I've signed this declaration and encourage you to do so also. You'll find a link on our website at lifeissues.org. Click on today's broadcast link.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.